Their great objective is to strip us of our allies and to force us to go it alone. If they could do that, they could go ahead with their plan of taking over the world, nation by nation. Unfortunately, it isn't only the Kremlin that has been trying to separate us from our allies. There are some people in this country, too, who've been trying to get us to go it alone. These people, there are people here who have been sowing distrust of our allies and magnifying our differences with them. Some of these people are sincere, but misguided. Others are deliberately putting petty politics ahead of their country's safety. Now, I have no objection to honest political debate. That's the way things get decided in this country. But some of the people who are trying to get us to go it alone aren't engaging in honest political debate. They know they couldn't win that way, so they have launched a campaign to destroy the trust and confidence of the people in their government. They are trying to set the people against the government by spreading fear and slander and outright lies. They have attacked the integrity of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They have maliciously attacked General Bradley, who is one of the greatest soldiers this country ever produced. They have tried to besmirch the loyalty of General Marshall, who directed our strategy in winning the greatest war in history. And they have deliberately tried to destroy Dean Acheson, one of the greatest secretaries of state in the history of this country. Now, let me tell you something. All the members of the cabinet have done most important things for this country in the defense effort. But Dean Acheson's job has been to bring entire nations to our side, to fight on our side if there is a showdown. That is exactly what he's done, and he's been successful at it. He's done a lot more for his country than all his slanderers put together. That political smear campaign is doing this country no good. It's playing right into the hands of the Russians. And I've said that right along. It's playing right into the hands of the Russians. Lies, slander, and mudslinging are weapons of the totalitarians. No man of morals or ethics will use them. It's time that smear campaign was stopped. As far as I'm concerned, there ought to be no Democrats and no Republicans in the field of foreign policy. We're all Americans. All citizens of this same great republic. We've had bipartisan foreign policy in this country since before Pearl Harbor. I would like to keep it that way. I know a great many Republicans who want to keep it that way, too. And I say to them, this is the time now to show the real loyalty of the Republican Party to the great ideals on which this country is founded. Now is the time to put a stop to the sordid efforts to make political gains by stirring up fear and distrust about our foreign policy. Now is the time to say to the dividers and the confusers, no political party ever got anywhere in the long run by playing fast and loose with the security of the nation in time of great peril. Partisan efforts to label our foreign policy as appeasement is a tag. To tag it as a policy of fear or timidity point to only one thing. They point to our going it alone down the road to World War III. The policy of fear to bring the free nations of the world together in a great is a policy of fear to bring the free nations of the world together in a great unified movement to maintain peace? Is it a policy of timidity to come to the aid of the Greeks and the Turks and the other free peoples who are fighting back against the communist threat? Is it a policy of appeasement to fight armed aggression and hurl it back in Korea? Of course it's not. Anybody with any common sense knows it's not. And look at the alternatives these critics have to present. Here's what they say. Take a chance on spreading the conflict in Korea. Take a chance on tying up all our resources in the vast war in Asia. Take a chance on losing our allies in Europe. Take a chance the Soviet Union won't fight in the Far East. Take a chance we won't have a Third World War. They want us to play Russian roulette with the foreign policy of the United States with all the chambers of the pistol loaded. That's the kind of wisdom and thinking that's been coming out of the dividers and confusers in the last few months. This is not a policy. This is not the way to defend this country and the cause of world peace in these dangerous times. No president who has any sense of responsibility for the welfare of this great country is going to meet the grave issues of war and peace on such a foolish basis as that. I'm glad that we've had the recent hearings in the Senate on our foreign policy. Those hearings have been thorough, and they have been conducted fairly. And the way that committee has conducted has been as a breath of fresh air in the United States Senate. They've done a great deal to explain to our people the situation the world is in and the way we are meeting it. They have demonstrated again that we are on the right course. But the important problem right now is not the past, it's the future. The world will not stand still while we examine the whole course of our foreign policy since 1941. We're right in the middle of a great effort to build up our defenses and to check aggression. We can't go on with this effort unless the Congress enacts certain basic legislation. Every group in the country has a vital part to play in our great effort for peace. The part of the Congress is to give the country the legislation we need to go forward. Without that, none of the rest of us can do our job. We must have effective laws to curb inflation and to boost defense production. We must have the appropriations needed to build up our defense forces. We must have legislation to enable us to continue our policy of military and economic aid to our allies. To make our nation safe, we must have strong allies. We cannot have them unless we help the other free countries to defend themselves. Time is too short and the danger too pressing to wait for these war-weakened countries to build up their own defenses without help from us. This aid is vital to our plans for defense, to our national security, to our hopes for peace. Let me show you just how essential it is. We all know that our Air Force is very important, but did you ever stop to think how much its effectiveness depends on our allies? The Air Force has to have bases overseas to be right in the right place to give full protection to our own country as well as to our allies. This is a clear example of how joining with other free nations for mutual defense helps us also. Our allies cannot maintain and defend the necessary bases unless we give them aid. Giving aid to our allies is just as necessary as building airplanes if we are to have world peace. Our military buildup, our development of weapons, our economic strength at home, our foreign aid program, our efforts in the United Nations are all parts of a whole. They are all essential to our program for peace. There is no one weapon, no single service, no particular military or diplomatic device that can save us by itself. All our efforts are needed. We now have a program that is using all these elements of our national policy for the great purpose of peace. We are improving it as we go along, and we're getting good results. We must get on with the job. We must build up our strength, but we must always keep the door open to the peaceful settlement of differences. We are ready to join in a peaceful settlement in Korea now, just as we've always been. But it must be a real settlement, which fully ends the aggression and restores peace and security to the area and to the gallant people of Korea. In Korea and in the rest of the world, we must be ready to take any steps which truly advance us toward world peace. But we must avoid, like the plague, rash actions which would take unnecessary risks of world war or weak actions which would reward aggression. We must be firm and consistent and level-headed. If we get discouraged or impatient, we can lose everything we're working for. If we carry on with faith and courage, we can succeed. And if we succeed, we will have marked one of the most important turning points in the history of man. We will have established a firm peace for the whole world to last for years to come. That is a goal to challenge the best that is in us. Let us move toward it resolutely, with faith in God and with confidence in ourselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the President of the United States.
And now, the national anthem. Just heard the President of the United States speaking to you from the Arnold Engineering Research Center at Tullahoma, Tennessee. This program was transcribed earlier today and brought to you by the CBS Department of Public Affairs.